University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. Hello and welcome. My name is David Stouffer and I get to be the recruitment coordinator for the UMSL College of Education. Each week on this podcast, we will meet an innovator in the field of education. We will spend some time getting to know them and learning about their work and how it can help you and yours. It is my sincere hope that this podcast will be a source of encouragement and support as you work to continue impacting lives as an educator. Hello and welcome to Triton Talk, the show about UMSL, by UMSL, and for UMSL. I'm your host, David Stouffer, and I get to be the recruitment coordinator for the College of Education here at UMSL. Here on Triton Talk, you'll hear from UMSL faculty, staff, and students. You'll get the chance to learn more about their role at UMSL and what they're doing to make our community better for everyone. My guest today is Dr. Jill Bernard Bracey. Dr. Bracey is Associate Teaching Professor and Director of the Supply Chain Risk and Resilience Research Institute. Dr. Bracey received her PhD in Logistics and Supply Chain Management from the University of Missouri St. Louis in 2015. She teaches courses in supply chain strategy and quantitative methods for business, and her pedagogical goal is to relate courses, content, to current events and industry application. She completed her MBA at Southern Illinois University in May of 2007, and her Bachelor of Science in Business Administration at Fontbonne University in May of 2005. Welcome, Dr. Bracey.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I had to practice that intro a lot because you obviously have an incredible career already have done a lot of things, and I'm excited to dive in and get to know more about you. Let's start off. Your education journey seems pretty straightforward. Bachelor's, yeah. Master's, and PhD in the field of mm-hmm. business. What drew you to that pathway? Where does that passion for the business world come from? And then what ultimately drew you to come back to UMSL after you completed your PhD and become a member of our faculty?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. So I've always been a lifelong learner, just love of studying and reading and math and puzzles from the very beginning. So the collegiate path was a natural one for me. I went to Fontbonne University, loved every minute of it, really dove into the student life, getting really involved in the classroom and outside the classroom. Graduated, went into industry, and quickly realized that I really missed learning and the learning environment and being able to, study in a more structured way. So I looked at MBA programs and had great recommendations for SIUE. When I was studying at SIUE, I had the opportunity to serve as a graduate assistant. And that quickly became a research assistant position and then a teaching assistant position. And I fell in love with the academy and everything that the academy and an academic journey had to offer. When I finished my MBA, I went into industry again, but just temporarily, knowing that I was going to look into PhD programs so that I could, pursue a career where my job was to learn and then tell other people what I learned and disseminate that information. Looked at UMSL's program when I was studying in my undergraduate and master's programs. I really enjoyed marketing and understanding that fourth P of place and where people bought what they bought and why, and the consumer behavior that drove our purchase decisions at certain locations. And UMSL happened to have a program in logistics and supply chain management with a minor in marketing. And for me, that was perfect because I wanted to study marketing and the logistical aspects. At that time, I had no idea what supply chain management was. Not very many people did, but it sounded cool, so I thought I would pursue that path. And came here with that intent. One of my first classes was in domestic transportation with Dr. Ray Mundy. And at that point, just fell in love with transportation and understanding the different modes and how they work together, and really the safety aspect of it. That's what intrigued me the most. And that's where I started studying transportation safety and specifically highway safety, but that is why I kind of continued on this path of lifelong learning, and my dad calls me a professional student.
Yes.
And just continuing my education. But after I finished the PhD, I went to teach at Fompon University, and I was there running their Master's of Supply Chain Management program, but an opening came available in the Center for Transportation Studies here at UMSL, and I had the just life-changing opportunity to come back to UMSL and work in the Center for Transportation Studies under the guidance of Dr. Ray Mundy and continue to focus my research efforts on domestic transportation.
Mm-hmm. So even before you started your bachelor's degree in business administration, there had to have been some kind of a passion and a drive to go that direction. Can you think back to anything in high school or before? What was there a period of time where you just knew that this is what you wanted to do?
No. So that's a great question, because not really. I never was thinking, I'm going to study business. For the longest time, I thought I was going to go into education. I mean, if you would have asked me almost through my 4 years of high school what I was going to be when I grew up, I would have said a teacher in you know, maybe 7 through 12 program, junior high school program. I never really intended on studying a business degree. I kind of just fell into it through some mentorship and through some encouragement that maybe business was a career that I was apt for, and that I had some of the characteristics that I would succeed in, and that's what moved me into the business realm. But still, I always had that I want to be in education, right? So so now I have this amazing opportunity to pair my business acumen with my love for learning and teaching.
So were you involved in DECA and in some of the organizations in high school, the business organizations?
I was not. So I am from the middle of nowhere, rural route 2 of a town of 400 people. My high school did not have any of that.
Wow.
So we had three clubs. We had Future Farmers of America, Future Homemakers of America, and Building Trades.
Wow.
So that was most of the students in my high school did not pursue secondary education.
Right.
That wasn't a path.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, it's a good thing we didn't meet when you were still in high school and I was working here at the College of Ed. Otherwise, I'd have got you and you'd be a teacher right now. But hey, it sounds like your life turned out okay.
I think so. Thank you.
Your bio on your website says your interests include using applied data analytics for highway safety and policy recommendations. You talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And evaluating the impacts of programs and policies on student performance and success in higher education.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit more about that for our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. So on the front side, that's what I was studying when I was in my PhD and my dissertation under the guidance of just the wonderful late Dr. Don Sweeney. I pursued that path of highway safety and using data analytics for that. So that's where that stream came from. But somewhere early in my junior faculty career, Dr. Sweeney had a project that he was looking at, working on student success in higher education and student success being measured as time to graduation. And he invited me into that project with a few other colleagues. And that was really cool for me, like understanding why students and how students succeed, like what drives them and how is success measured and what really affects their success out in outcomes. So for me, I was always very intrinsically motivated and I didn't need a lot of external motivation to want to do well, but that's not the case for everyone. So
So
what is it? And it's such an important question for an educator to ask. How do I support students and encourage them and empower them? And that project really kind of moved this, my pedagogical journey forward. And I've published a few papers and I have some research in progress, just better understanding how we support students to ensure their success.
Wow, that's fascinating. That's one of the things that has impressed me so much about UMSL since I started working here, is how every college and every department within every college has those supports and strives to improve upon those supports. So that's wonderful. I'm curious, though, a little bit more about your work with transportation safety.
Sure.
That's not something you think of when you think of College of Business. transportation safety, MoDOT, you know. Talk a little bit more about that. What's your role in that, and how did you get so interested in it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think you're right. Oftentimes we think about that more from an engineering perspective and looking at the infrastructure or even the policy and that affects transportation safety. So I got into it, unfortunately, where I'm from, traffic deaths are fairly common, especially for young people. And I had lost a friend when I had pretty early on in this program, and I was looking at, you know, what contributes to traffic fatalities, because I had previous motivation to look at that. And that's where I came in, was looking at what do we do as drivers that lead to fatal or injury outcomes if we're in a wreck, and how, as policymakers and just even as, you know, drivers, change our behavior so that we can be safer on the road for ourselves and for others. And that, and, but looking at it from a data standpoint, not just, you know, here's my gut that people are doing this, but how do we look at what has actually happened from a data standpoint, and how do we analyze that data in a way that we can influence policy, you know, by fact. And that was the key, because MoDOT supported my research. The Missouri State Highway Patrol did as well. But how do we analyze and see what drivers are doing? What are their behaviors? So that when we put policy in place, they're good policy. And that was really the outcome.
Okay. Okay. Wow. So that's really the foundation for the changes that need to take place then.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Talk a little bit more, if you would, about your work with outreach initiatives and your work your department and center does with academic in the public and private sectors.
Absolutely, yeah. So one of my favorite things about the College of Business and our department is our strive to provide practical application in our research and in the classroom to make sure that what we're doing is relevant and important and actually makes a difference in industry and in the public sector. So we do a lot of outreach initiatives, and I lead up a lot of these initiatives about how do we better work with our external partners to ensure that what we are teaching matters, that our students are learning, you know, what industry needs in order for them to be successful and for industry to continue to move forward and progress. So we have many outreach initiatives. So some of them that we're working on right now are intra-rotational programs, so where a student would rotate not within the company but between companies so that they can see the breadth of the supply chain. Things like reaching out to high school students through the Bridge program to encourage students to study our industry. So a lot of people don't know what supply chain is. The pandemic helped to bring it to the forefront in conversations, but really understanding what it is and that it's a successful career path is still a challenge. So how do we encourage, you know, young people to even be interested in our industry in general? So we have outreach initiatives that look at that as well. Other outreach pieces that we do are, you know, working with industry associations to make sure that we are up to date on our research initiatives and our curriculum development, and to serve as a platform to put our students in front of industry professionals to help them, you know, find a job and advance in their careers.
Sure. Forgive me in advance. This is a very long question. I'm going to try to get through it, but it has a lot of good information on there, so I wanted to make sure to point this out. You serve currently on the Transportation Research Foundation at the national level. You're a board member on the St. Louis Operations Collective. You serve as the immediate past president and education advisor on the Council of Safety, Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals for the St. Louis chapter.
Yes.
And a board member of the St. Louis Operations Collective.
Yes.
Off the mic, I want to find out how you find time for all of this. But for now, just tell us a little bit more about your role in these service organizations and the work you do in the community.
Yeah, I think, you know, it goes back to the fact that we're such an applied, practical program that we have to be connected to industry. So our department has a fantastic executive advisory board that guides what we do. And working with them, we realize, you know, it's our goal to be the most connected to the region's industry and make sure that what we're doing matters and is making a difference. So being a part of all these, you know, associations and industry associations allows me to make sure that we're connected with industry, that I'm talking with practitioners so that our research is guided by industry needs and our curriculum, you know, follows industry needs. But it also gives, like I mentioned before, a platform for us to put our students in front of industry and connect them. And I think, you know, that networking is so key. And I think the pandemic maybe, you know, put a damper on the importance of interpersonal relationships. And these type of opportunities allow us to bring that back and to work on those soft skills and to really build our network. And I love these because all of these that you mentioned, they're regional for the most part. The Transportation Research Forum is national. But it's a way to enhance the visibility of our program, right? Mm-hmm. So I can get out and say, I'm from UMSL. UMSL is fantastic, and let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. So it gives me this platform to talk about how great we are. But we also work together. So on the collective that you mentioned, this came from Cindy Mieber, who was at SLU at the time and is now with Greater St. Louis, Inc. But she said, instead of all of us competing together, we need to work together to enhance our region mm-hmm. and the visibility of our industry. And that really resonated with me. So for the Transportation Research Forum, the local chapter, we don't compete with all of these universities on this platform, but instead we work together. So it's UMSL. I started it, and UMSL really has been super supportive of it. We brought in Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, WashU, SLU, Lindenwood, Mizzou, Western Illinois, like all of these institutions, and we work together to try to make our region stronger and to encourage students to pursue our industry. Mm-hmm. And we're better together.
Yes.
And the same with the CSCMP. You know, we are our own entity, but we work so closely with the Transportation Club and LTNA, and I can just keep throwing out acronyms at you, but all these other associations to say, you know, again, we're better together. Mm-hmm. We need to work together, pool our resources to really make a difference.
Sure, sure. So you started the Transportation Research Foundation?
Forum in St. Louis.
In St. Louis, okay.
So it's a national organization, yes, mm-hmm. but okay. our local chapter.
Is that typical of a faculty at a place like UMSL to be involved in so many of these service organizations?
I think I might go a little overboard, but I enjoy it. Yes. I really enjoy being a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm probably on a little more than most, mm-hmm. but I would definitely say mm-hmm. that my colleagues also are very well represented sure. in these industry associations.
Okay. So. Yeah, you're definitely raising the bar, I think, for the rest of the faculty here. no more questions, Dr. Bracey, but I wanted to give you a chance just to talk about anything else that you're doing. I can't imagine there's more that you're doing, but anything else about your work, anything else about your future here at UMSL, the College of Business, anything at all, the mic is yours.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for the great questions and for giving me the opportunity to tell the students about the fantastic things that we're doing. My advice to students would be UMSL is a wonderful place. And there are so many people here to support you to make sure that you succeed, whether it's faculty, staff, administration, your fellow students, alumni. But really, you know, use those resources. And what you put in is what you're going to get out. So take your time here to really learn, to really grow, and know that we're all here to support you to be successful.
That's Dr. Jill Bracey, Associate Teaching Professor and Director of Supply Chain Risk and Resilience Research Institute for the UMSL College of Business Administration. Thank you so much for joining me here on Triton Talk.
Thank you very much.
I am honored that you chose to join me today for the University of Missouri St. Louis College of Education podcast. I hope you'll join me next time. Till then, I'm David Stouffer. Thank you for the work you do. Never forget, you are making a difference every day.